What's up, you guys? You know what it is. Homegrown Podcast with your boys, Jamari McClain.
Raphael Anthony. Man, what a week. Something week. Special
what
about
a,
you.
What a weekend.
Yeah, tell us about it. This is something really awesome. Check
first
this
of all,
out.
I had a really, really busy weekend this past weekend. On Saturday, I auditioned for America's Got Talent, which is pretty crazy. Took me like 6 hours just to get in the room, and I had to do 90 seconds of material.
How'd you feel about it?
Oh, I did good. I felt good. It was like three people at a table. They were recording, and then it was like 12 or 13 other people auditioning also, so they were also in the room.
Yeah.
So I had like a little small crowd, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt good about my set. I freestyled at the beginning. I was like, after today, waiting in all these lines, I'm going to go to DMV tomorrow without an appointment because that ain't shit after today. 6 hours. That's the first thing I said. I didn't say shit, but it's the first thing I said, and I got laughed, so...
Good. That's a good start, man.
Yeah,
that's
because the people in the room knew exactly what I was talking about because they went through the same thing.
Yeah, shit.
But that was on Saturday. And then yesterday, which was Sunday, I actually got to perform. I got to be on the stage at the Grammys yesterday at Staples Center. And it was pretty dope.
You kind of have to look a little bit. We'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
If you tell us, please, Jamario.
So it
what,
was a scene like
what
an
happened?
Hour into the broadcast, and it was a scene where Alicia Keys is playing two pianos, dual pianos.
Yeah.
And she's doing other people's songs. She's like, this is a song I wish I wrote.
This is after Cardi B.
This is exactly right after Cardi B performed.
Okay.
And it was me. It was like 15, 20, like at least 20 people on stage sitting at tables. It looked like an intimate club scene around Alicia and the pianos. And we had drinks in our hands, and we were just vibing out to the song she was singing. But it was on the Grammy stage.
Yeah.
Like, I look in the audience, I can see J-Lo, Diana Ross, Drake, Cardi B, and Offset. That shit was crazy. It was fun. I'm just regretting not taking a selfie while I was up there.
I was about to ask you, why didn't you not take a selfie?
They told us not to take our our phones down there, so I was trying to play by the rules.
I'm thinking that maybe they would have like blacklisted you. You would have taken out
your
camera.
They would have blacklisted me if I jumped on the piano and started sea walking or like pulled out my ass on live television.
They would have tackled you.
Just in general, like that was my first time going to the Grammys, but you know, obviously it's like like the concert of all concerts. I got to see Lady Gaga perform, J-Lo. I got to see Travis Scott, Cardi B.
So walk us through how did you get this role? Jamario is a comedian. He does travel across California and other
states.
But how did you get this?
Everybody that's on the stage, she handpicked. And I got booked through Central Casting, actually. It was on a union voucher. So anybody know what Central is? And they say Alicia Keys handpicked. Because Central Casting, they'll text you.
Yeah.
Are you available to work such and such? And I say yes. And then they told me, it was like, keep these days open. And I had to go to rehearsal on Thursday. And then the Grammys was yesterday on Sunday. But they were saying that Alicia Keys handpicked the people that was on stage. So I don't know if she liked the chocolate brother with the curls. But it was cool. I met her at rehearsals. Like, she introduced herself to everybody. And she's cool as hell. But talented as fuck. But it was just so many moving parts yesterday. Like, think about... trying to get into the White House. That's what the Grammys was yesterday. Like, it took me an hour just to get in the Staples Center, like security and checkpoints. It was like two metal detectors I had to go through. But it was fun, though. It was a fun experience. Like I said, the only thing I regret is not taking more selfies while I was up there.
Hey,
I ran into Jaden Smith. I ran into J-Rock. I seen Melly Mel. And he was part of the old school rap group with like that old school song, Don't like, Push Me, Cause I'm close to the edge. Yeah, I've seen
his
ass.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But it was just like, you know, it was crazy. Like, where they had us like in the holding area, it wasn't backstage. We were like way up top in the suites. So like we basically in the suites up top. So like the performance, we looking down there.
Yeah.
The only time we got to go to the stage was when they were about to put us on stage. So it was fun.
Wow. What a blast. Well, good for you, man. It's a type of exposure for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And you got the chance to experience something. This is your first huge event in entertainment.
You know what's crazy, though? After I went to Hollywood, I went to the Laugh Factory because they have Chocolate Sundays there. I was still in my suit and shit. But I went and stopped by a liquor store before I went there. And then I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but literally, like, the dude that it was a white dude that was like, I don't want to say he's the director. He was one of the dudes that was like coordinating where we go. Like, he was moving us around.
One of the directors.
He was young as fuck, like, bro. He had an accent. He was like from London or something. And I just so happened, I'm getting out of my car. He's getting in his car. Like, and he just drove off. I was like, motherfucker, I didn't talk to you. But that was just random, bro. Like, and he didn't have no dress clothes on. He was dressed down. Like, you know, he's part of the crew. Like,
yeah.
It was fun, though. It was a fun experience.
Dude, that's
awesome. What did you have popping this weekend?
Well, for me, it wasn't too crazy. I am preparing for my upcoming art and music show that's going to be happening February 27th at the Kesara Bar here at Long Beach on 7th Street. So I can't wait for the flyer to come out.
That's dope.
So we're doing a photo shoot on that. It's not going to be by myself. I'm going to be with DJ Maniac. You know who that is?
Yeah, I actually do know DJ Maniac. Yeah. Where'd you meet him at?
At one of your shows.
Yeah, I know.
The Bottoms Up Bar. And we got the chance to talk a bit. I told him how I do my shows, and he wants to collaborate with me, which is great because it is going to be a theme type of an event. So I'm excited. It is a weekday, but it's technically art, you know, art music shows are not, you kind of are competing with other events during the weekend. So for me, it's a good start.
And it's going to be, where at?
It's going to be at the Kesara Bar here on 7th Street by Cherry, I believe. All the information is going to appear if you follow me on Instagram at The Forgetful. That's THE4GETFUL.
Yeah, since you're giving out plugs, you can follow me too at Jamario McLean. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Both of our Instagrams are on our Homegrown still, podcast. But yes.
I got a new watch too.
This guy's game.
Watch just for the Grammys. I was trying to be shine. I was trying to be all like shining and shit.
You look tight. You look tight.
Suit
man.
On with no tie, just a little collar shirt pop.
I did see one of your pictures that when somebody took a picture after the show. You looked a little exhausted. You were like just standing there.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Didn't
even smile. I was just tired.
So today we do have an opportunity for us to begin our show talking about another American great comedian. But before we start, I want to say thank you to all of you guys for listening to us on anchor.fm/homegrown-podcast and also on YouTube. We are trying to get more subscribers so we can get a unique name. So we really appreciate it.
Look out. We're going to start doing more content on our YouTube channel.
Yes. More. Our Instagram is going to be more content on there as well. Yeah, that's true. That's true. There are lots of stuff coming up. Yeah.
Got some great ideas coming.
And all thanks to you guys, for sure. And to get started with our show, we have something pretty special because it is the month.
It is Black History Month. So we do talk about comedians. So we're going to talk about one of the legendary comedians where he was the first host of the Comedy Act Theater, which was the first real black club that catered to black audiences in L.A. This is in like the mid-80s, Mr. Robin Hughes Harris. People know
as
Robin Harris.
Born August 30th, 1953. He's obscure enough not because he didn't, you know, make it big. It's just that we lost him early.
Oh, yeah. He was ahead of his time, though. I mean, like the likes of... Because think about it, he's the MC, so people had to go through either him or the owner to get stage time. And we're talking about Chris Rock, Jamie Foxx, Tommy Davidson, Damon Wayans.
Bernie Mac.
Well, I'm talking about people like D.O. Hughley. That was in L.A.
Yes, in L.A. at the time.
Joe Torre.
Right.
You know, just like, it was the club for black comedians that was trying to get on the scene and trying to make a name for themselves. And all the people we're naming today, they looked up to this guy. That's the kind of comedian he was.
He was born in Chicago, Illinois. His father, Earl, was a welder, and his mother, Maddie, was a factory seamstress. In 1961, his family moved to Los Angeles, and that's where he attended the Manual Arts High School. Harris then attended Ottawa University in Kansas, and during that time, he began to hone his craft in comedy. He worked at the Hughes Aircraft, a rental car company, and Security Pacific Bank to pay for his bills. And then in 1980, he started to debut at the Los Angeles Comedy Store.
Speaking of Comedy Store, your boy gonna be there February 19th. Check me out. Comedy Store is the mecca of comedy also, but back then, you had to be really, really funny to get on. It wasn't like they were just letting anybody on. It's a little different format now. I'm not saying it's not funny comedians there, but back then it was like a rite of passage as comedians. And you had to be really funny to get on. That dude was really funny.
Creative.
I mean, like a lot of black comedy. Even Tommy Davidson, I heard him on a podcast recently.
Yeah.
When he first moved to LA, he couldn't get in at the Comedy Store. So he went to the Comedy Act Theater.
Yeah.
And then when he finally got on stage, he said he ripped that shit apart.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, obviously you want to be in Hollywood, you got to be at the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory. But this dude was he was one of those comics that could rip the crowd. He'd be on the spot. It seemed like it was not written. It seemed like he was freestyling.
And that's what it is his element of natural creative flow.
And he fucking, anybody like that got up to go to the bathroom, he fucked with the audience. He was just that type of comedian. And it wasn't like, you know, you didn't take it personally. That's just kind of style he was. He messed with the audience.
Somebody that I can compare him to, I mean, technically he's the godfather of that technique, is Patrice O'Neill. He had that flow, that just now he just goes on stage and just starts talking to you. And that's really what Robin Harris was paving along the way. We want to give you an example of his comedy type, just how his style is. And you're going to, if some of you guys have not heard about him, you will look him up. You're going to go, holy shit, this guy's fucking funny. Mm. But this is definitely something you'll appreciate. So we are going to be talking about Robin Harris. This is a show in 1988, comedy stand-up. So here he is.
Start right there. Go from right there. Because the show is posted out. I'm talking about a fat lady in the audience. Look like she wobbling like a penguin.
I bet she run that much water in the bathtub and overflow.
Put that much water in the bathtub and overflow.
Look at that.
Man. This is a famous bitch.
I met a girl a couple weeks ago, man. You know what she gonna tell me? Hey, she gonna tell me, if you wanna get acquainted with me and my son, you'll have to take us to Disneyland. Ain't that a bitch? I went to pick up the next day, here she got four more kids. I said, who cares to them? She said, them baby kids. I said, where in the fuck is baby? She said, baby went downtown. I said, why didn't she take her kids with
her? Baby went downtown. Baby went downtown.
You know how kids act when they ain't never been nowhere. We went to Disneyland, we go out to small world, they jump out the boat. Holy crap, come on, small world! Small world! Man, I've never seen nothing like in my life. Just whooping ass all at Disneyland. Kick Mickey Mouse ass, you mean? I had to leave them kids, man. I went to my car, ran to my car fast as I could, you mean? I got to the car, here they is, waiting on me. Had a
that's your boy.
Mickey Mouse watch.
He's talking about leaving him, man. He was waiting on him at the car.
Thank you. Y'all gonna be there.
Man, it's just, I think you guys might have heard something familiar today. He said baby's kids.
Yeah.
That's a little small trivia.
Baby's kids was one of his bits that he did where he talked about going out with a chick. And she was trying to get him to take her out with her son, but then she always brought her friend's kids too, which is Bebe. And those are Bebe's kids. And he did that bit his whole career, and then they actually was making a movie out of it.
Yeah.
And then he died in pre-production, so that's what they had to make. They made it an animation film where Faison Love was the voice of Robin Harris in that movie.
I would have loved seeing that movie in live.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it would have been so well done. I ask you guys, please look up Baby's Kids. It's a great Netflix to just sit back and enjoy as pastime. It's a good film, but it's an animation, so you'll laugh about it. It's definitely cheesy enough where you go, this is funny. But I think it would have really been huge if it would have been live.
It was so good. It came out like, what year did it come out?
It's got to be Baby's 93 Kid. Or something. Yeah, or let me.
Baby's Kids definitely. It made an impression on me, put it that way. When I seen it as a kid, so it had to be at least 95 because I was like in fourth grade.
Yeah. I'm guessing at 92.
I was in second grade. Damn. All right, so look at it.
Because I saw it like in 95, 96 or something.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on cable. I didn't go to the movies to see it, but I was young. I was like second or third grade.
Yeah.
But the movie from the kid, the little bad kid that had the hoodie on and the hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
After I seen the movie, I started walking around with my hoodie on and my hat. I swear. Not acting bad like them, but it was
That's just
like,
a style, yeah.
Like he was cool, though. Like, that kid was so fucking cool. Like, they were all grown.
And the baby.
Yeah, the baby was the worst one. The baby was the baddest one.
I remember a bit from Bernie Mac about how the kid's trying to get milk and cookies.
Exactly.
We'll be talking about him for sure. For a long time.
He got to be the next one, actually. And then Patricia on there.
I really
talk about Bernie Mac.
I really thought, because of that bit of milk and cookies, I thought he was the voice of Baby's Kids. I didn't know he was. Because the style just felt like it.
I said, the same thing with Bernie Mac, looked up to Robin Harris.
Yeah.
So that's how kind of impression he put on the other black comedians. But the Bernie Mac story, that's a true story, too, I believe.
Yeah.
He really did take his sister's kids in. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Bernie Mac story. Just like that story about Baby is probably a real story.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The crazy part about it was when we were talking about Robin Harris, he was already a working comic in the late 80s. His first acting debut was on Keenan Ivory Wayne's movie, which is Keenan Ivory Wayne's first movie called I'ma Get You Sucker,
yep.
Which was a classic too in its own right. Fucking cult film. It was a classic cult film. And he plays a bartender. He plays a bartender in that movie. And he always still sings. Like, Robin Harris is just funny. And it seemed like he was just him on the different movies. He was himself.
It really felt that he was himself.
He didn't have to do any acting. He was just himself.
But it felt natural, though. It felt natural. You know, my critique about Will Smith is he's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in every freaking movie. That's my critique of French. I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying.
It's impossible.
He's an amazing. I
like this.
I did enjoy him.
I want the truth.
But the thing about Robin Harris is that he definitely was natural. It just, you enjoyed that character in these films. You couldn't wait for him to see how he finessed it and made it happen.
And also on the Spike Lee movie called Do the Right Thing that came out in 89, you can also check Robin Harris out. He was part of a quartet of guys on the street, and it was hot as fuck that day in New York. And they just out there sweating, like, with no fans. And they're basically narrating the whole day, because that movie basically takes place in a day. Like, the things that took out throughout that day.
Yeah.
And that's more dramatic. He says some funny lines in that movie, but obviously that movie is like a dramatic kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, he plays Pops on House Party. He plays Kid's Pop. And that shit was hilarious. Like, he used to beat the shit out of him, and he'd sneak out the house to go to the party. That was the whole point. He was scared of his dad, which Robin Harris, that back then, it was a comedy, but he scared. Like, he reminded me of my dad. I used to be scared of my dad like that.
Just knew that. Like, I knew somebody who was like him. That's really what it was. This character was like, you knew someone like him. For you, it was your dad. For me, I knew, like, one of one of my friend's parents, uncle was like that. He was very loud, very just like that. We want to show you a clip from that movie. I think you'll appreciate it. It's a real good one, really popular, and it's called How to Talk to Police.
Yeah, that's the scene where the police start harassing them. So shout outs to the cops, the good cops out there. All the bad cops, fuck you.
That's right.
Corrupt cops.
I'm killing her with him. I should have never married that white woman. Hold it right there. Married that white
woman. This kid was mixed.
Hey, you, where are you going?
I'm going to mind my fucking business. That's where I'm going. Do you have a problem with that, officer?
Again with the questions. What is this, Jeopardy?
No, it ain't Jeopardy. It ain't Monopoly either. And I ain't going to jail.
Freeze! Freeze!
Goddamn, you all sound like a set of bookends, man.
Put your hands on top of your head. Top. Lean back.
I know why you stopped me. I know why. Because I'm a poor black man in a black neighborhood on a black block, and y'all just want to bust my black ass.
No, no. You look suspicious.
Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah, you look suspicious, and you definitely look black. Turn around.
Your wife likes the old bitch. Man.
We're responding to a 415 disturbance in the neighborhood. You could be coming from that disturbance. That's why we stopped you.
Man, the only fucking disturbance is you fucking with me. Hell, don't think I can't read no bad numbers, chump. Boyd and Wernarski.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll turn y'all ass in.
Okay, that's enough, okay? What's your attitude, okay, pal?
Ain't that a bitch?
Go.
Fuck you. Officer of the goddamn law.
Go.
I'm not ready to go home.
Go home, pal.
Yeah.
Go.
You don't know who you fucking with. I'm from a small town called Fresh Harbor Cops Ass. You're making me homesick. Let me find that damn boy. He look like a whisper.
He's going to look for his son. He snuck out to go to the house party.
A good clip.
Come from a small town called Fresh Off a Cop's Ass.
I believe that clip speaks volumes to how it can really be between authority figures and just general public. You know, just be real with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just be real with one another. Definitely be make sure that you're not going for causing any issues.
I feel like. And Robin Harris, like we say, like, he was himself in these different movies. But that bit, like the one with Bebe Skids, how they made a movie out of it, that's how you know how powerful, how good his material was.
Yeah, yeah.
He did put out an HBO One Night Stand special. It came out in the late 80s. And obviously One Night Stands for comedians showcase their talent, had different comics. And shit like that is still around, but it's not the same. Like, Like I said, HBO was like the mecca of comedy.
It was.
There was no such thing as Netflix. Comedy Central wasn't around. It was only HBO or The Tonight Show.
Like, if you got picked up by HBO, you're set.
You're the shit. You still are to today. If you got an HBO special, you're the shit.
Yeah, but back then, it was like that. Once you're in, you're in.
You're sure. In.
So definitely recommend check out HBO special of Robin Harris. It's a really good film. I mean, a really good clip of his stand-up comedy special.
Yeah, and he was in Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing, but he also was in another Spike Lee movie starring Denzel Washington where he played Jazz Lounge MC, which was in Mo' Better Blues. And that was in 1990. And he was in, of course, one of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies that Eddie Murphy directed. Where we talked about the Red
That's
Fox.
Right. That's
he
right.
He was in Harlem Nights also.
Harlem Nights. He was in Harlem Nights. Tell yes,
me, man. That had the best comedians ever. Only person
best that lineup ever.
Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Red Fox, Robin Harris. Can't go no wrong.
Man, it was that's a good film. So a big shout out to one of the amazing comedians. He did pass away in March. I believe he passed away
March 18, 1990. And it was after he sold out. He was in Chicago, where he's from originally. It was after a sold out crowd at the Regal Theater, and he was only 36 years old, and he died in his sleep of a heart attack.
Very sad to lose him like that.
I would say that's not a bad way of going out. You're in your sleep at least.
Yeah. But they end up so young though. 36.
36 is young. It's like I got 2 more years, like basically I'm 34, so
I got 10 more years.
Right, so his body was transported back to California, where he ended up getting buried at the Inglewood Park cemetery, which I actually have a lot of family members there. My grandma's there, a few of my cousins, uncles there, and that cemetery really hits home too. It's pretty close to my heart. Right there in Inglewood.
There's also archive footage of that they used on House Party 2.
House Party 2 did a tribute where they basically he was like looking at a picture, and his dad came to life like talking to him, but they used basically like the audio from part one, where he was telling him, keep your mind on them books and off them grouse. And in House Party 3, they did a tribute where he was going to college, and it was called Harris University. That was another tribute for Robin Harris in House Party 2. In the House Party 3, Pop's brother and kid's uncle, which was played by Bernie Mac, rest in peace. He looks at a photograph of Pops, of Robin Harris, and he tells Kid, he's like, man, I miss your dad. I wish he was still alive. He owed me $150. That shit was classic, dude.
Oh, man. And posthumously, they did release a DVD in 2006 called We Don't Die, We Multiply, the Robin Harris story. And that definitely allowed for more conversations and material to be brought out with an amazing comedian that he was.
It was never before seen footage of his material that he performed. And it was also different interviews with different comics that looked up to him and contemporaries as Martin Lawrence, Bernie Mac, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley, Robert Townsend, and Joe Torre.
I want to definitely let our audience get a sense of the type of creativity that comedians get to. Can you share with us a little bit about when you are out there on stage and it's a new crowd and you need to share with them, you know, them like you, what zone do you get into?
Everyone has their own, you know, green light once they're ready to just take off and do their own shit. But basically, it's like there's no one right way of doing it. He was a natural. Certain people that are naturals. Some people are geniuses. Dave Chappelle is a very, very smart. He's a smart comic. But as far as with the way his style was, he was rapid fire, bro. If you listen to his comedy, his shit got laughs every 5 to 10 seconds. That's like a true headliner. If you get a laugh every 5 to 10 seconds, it's like rapid fire, bro. Like, he was a storyteller a little bit, but not really. Like, he was just ammo, like fucking just ammo going off. Like, he'd be talking about some shit. He'd see somebody in the crowd, fuck with them, go back. You know, he was like just rapid fire.
Yeah.
As I grow as a comedian, I have my own stuff. I talk about myself. I don't really mess with the crowd unless they mess with me. If I get hecklers, but nobody will ever heckle him. It was some people that used to heckle him, but it'd be like, why would you heckle Robin Harris? Is like that. That's what he was known for.
Because
to just take you out like a sniper. Like, and he'd bag on you what you got on, what you're wearing. Just anything he'll use to his own ammunition. Like, he seen one dude in the audience talking shit to him, And he was like, man, well, you shouldn't even open your mouth with your yellow teeth. He said, your teeth so yellow, you drank water and it turned to lemonade. He was like, man, the more hot it get in here, you can open up your own stand. He was just like.
Just going one just after another.
Going after him, bro.
Hey, we do want to give a shout out, of course, like he needs it. He's so popular. We want to say that Dave Chappelle did win Comedy Grammy.
Again, for his special he did. For his two specials that he dropped. One was filmed at the Comedy Store. Once again, I'm going to be there February 19th on a Tuesday, 10 p.m. in the Belly. And it's the same room that he did his special in the Belly Room.
That's right.
I'm going to be at the Belly Room on February 19th. Shout out Dave Chappelle. He won last year also.
He won last year.
I wish he was there. He wasn't there yesterday.
It was nice for him to win because you have to remember he was going against Pan Oswalt, who's amazing.
Funny as hell, yeah.
He's just Jim Gaffigan, who's also amazing.
Like, these guys are like working comics. Like, they make $250,000 a show.
But they give a lot of respect to Dave Chappelle because he does come from a different perspective and he is that good, of course. Mm-hmm. So this thank you guys for checking out our show. We definitely got to get into and talking about our sponsors. Our first sponsor I want to say thank you to Cultural Alliance of Long Beach. They're the ones who sponsor our recording location. Cultural Alliance of Long Beach is a nonprofit organization dedicated to showcasing artists, creative types, and community engagement in Long Beach. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Cultural Alliance of Long Beach. An art show is coming up on March the 9th at this location.
Also, another sponsor, of course, is Art, Music, and Culture, which is AMC organization, where they promote and educate for the creative and artist types and music. And definitely follow them on Instagram also, which is Art, Music, and Culture.
And something huge they want to share with you guys from our sponsors is something that's happening on February 23rd between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. here at the Burnett Library. John Rambo speaks at the Burnett Library on February 23rd talking about athletes' rights. So who is John Rambo?
He actually won. He's an Olympic medalist, 1964 games in Tokyo. He won in high jump. And he putting out a book. So he's speaking about his book called Athletes' Rights. And he's doing a live speak for his book on that day. So you guys got to come check it out. Definitely got to come check it out.
Yeah, highly recommend looking up John Rambo on his awesome.
You know what's crazy, though? This dude's... He could sue Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. Rambo's name was John Rambo.
Literally.
His name was John Rambo in the movie. So this dude had, I don't know, he spoke to a lawyer around the time that movie came out. The first one came out like in the 80s, but.
He must be really classy.
Yeah.
But he.
I would have sued the shit. I'm like, bro, it's like, you're taking my likeness. That's my name.
But he will be speaking at Burnett Library on his book called Athlete's Rights on Saturday, that's February 23rd, 2019.
Believe the last Saturday of the month, February 23rd.
Yes. So, and also, we also have a couple sponsors from our clubhouses.
So, definitely, we have some sponsors. You got to check us out. Bottoms Up Bar right there in Staten off Cotella. I just had a show there this past Saturday. It was a really good turnout. And then Penthouse Lounge in LA, right by the Citadel Outlet Mall. And then also the J Spot Comedy Club. We're going to be there on February 16th, the Valentine's Aftermath Show, 8 p.m. Hit me up on my website or go to my Facebook or Instagram. And I'll hook you up with free tickets.
Ooh, there you go. Hook him up. Believe me, he does does come through. So here from Homegrown Podcast, Raphael Anthony.
Jamari McClain.
Peace. Cheers.